First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, December 5th, 2021. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I have a prediction that the show is about to begin.
A prophecy. And our guests today are George Brown, the 2.5, formerly from Brooklyn. We have Swedish Steve all the way from Swedland. Welcome. And we have the John Richards from the Great Britain.
Without an alias.
Yes, that's right. We'll have to work you up one. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in town, well, you're just not. In Knoxville, we have over 1,000 of us in the Atheist Society of Knoxville. But we'll tell you more about that after the mid-show break. Wombat, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about prophecies, and one day we're going to have someone from another state in America than Tennessee. Like, we've had people from, you know, Korea, Sweden, England, India call in, but never someone from, like, Ohio. It's the most bizarre thing. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest thing about this.
Or California,
there are other states in the USA. Yeah. So, before we get into the meat and potatoes, I do want to bounce off of everybody, see how everyone's been since last week. Let's go to John Richards. You've had a lot of interesting conversations and are doing a great job posting the Global Atheist News Network. I want to know more about you, though. How you been since last week?
Yeah, I've been fine. Thank you very much. Yes, everything's proceeding smoothly here.
Okay.
We've got kids at school. One of them finishes this week, and another two finish the next week. So everything's running up towards Saturnalia.
So two things. There was a bit of a COVID scare in your past, not too recently. And is everything copacetic now? Like, is everyone completely recovered? Or,
well, we've recovered from Delta.
Okay.
But now we've got, I think, 130 cases of Omicron,
right,
in the UK. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that our vaccinations are good enough to keep us safe from that.
Okay.
We're locked down again.
We're locked down again.
We can't fly anywhere. Well, we're pretty much locked down. We have to wear a mask whenever we go on a train or bus. Train. That's the thing that goes along rails. You know, you don't
have to. Sure.
and we have to wear masks in shops as well. Okay. So it's not quite locked down, but we've been advised to work from home if we can.
If you can, I see. Swedish Steve, throwing it at you. It's been a while since we've seen you. Super happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's all good. Got a baby.
Whoa!
It's 2 months, something like that.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, something like that. Other than that, I was...
Now, did you actually have a spouse give birth to it, or did you just steal the baby?
I did, like most Swedish people. We go out and rape and pillage. And then in 9 months, we get a baby from the male.
Mm. Okay.
No stork involved?
Yeah. No. We kill them.
Yeah, well, one thing I bet you're not getting any sleep. Not getting any sleep, I bet.
We have never used slaves. It's a trail.
No, sleep, a sleep, 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 sleep,
you know,
yeah, sleep. Oh, that's not important.
While we're talking about babies, can I tell you about a little clip I've seen today on
sure,
YouTube?
Sure. Go for it.
I think it might have been on Twitter. It's Harris Sultan is one of my buddies in the atheist community, and he spotted a, I think it's a Pakistani video. It's only about a minute long. And it's about this imam who has discovered that all of the nappies have got Muhammad written on them.
All of the diapers have diapers, Muhammad
diapers in diapers in your language.
Okay.
And he's really offended that this weapon has been used.
All right. That's crazy. Hey, one quick last question for Swedish Steve. How much sunlight are you guys getting?
I don't know. I have no idea. I go into work, it's dark. I go out of work, it's dark. It can't be much at all.
Oh, geez.
It's, yeah, it's in the middle of the winter, so.
Okay.
We're approaching the solstice, yeah. So it's right there.
29th of December, I believe, is when it's coming up. So days are still getting shorter and shorter.
21st.
21st. Thank you. Yeah. Throw it up to around George Brown, second and the half. How you been, my friend?
Well, I'm dealing with health issues, and that's been occupying a lot of my life. So I don't have very many exciting things to report, except that here in my county, where the vaccination rate is 34%, six people died overnight from COVID. And people still don't get it. So I think we're in the middle of a propaganda war.
Sure.
It's a life and death. We've been in one. Yeah. But if it wasn't COVID, it'd be, you know, whatever the next thing is. It was really exhausting trying to keep track of it all when it was like, how do I put it? Go for it. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I mean, these folks are just determined to die.
And take down as many other people with them in the process.
Right. Yeah.
In the interest of comfort.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, I've lived my life on the coasts, and here I am surrounded by evangelicals, and I don't understand them. I just don't get it.
I would say the blessing in disguise, at least in your case, is if you were on the coast, say in New York or in California, your chances of getting in contact with another person who might be sick are much higher compared to where you are with me in the boonies, where there's like very much lower population.
And you can control it a lot better.
Right. Like when you need a commute in a subway,
right,
two or three times a day compared to where you are right now, things are a lot better in its own weird way, but you know, it could obviously improve dramatically if we just took some.
Well, all I can say in response, Wombat, is have a blessed day.
Nice. You, everybody have a blessed day, and you have a blessed day. It's the freest thing in the world. Doubter Five, how you been?
I'm doing fine. Actually working, as usual.
I've been working
now for like 6 weeks. I'm liking the work.
Dig it.
I'm onboarding customers for a client, and I have to do background checks and make sure that their documentations are in order. So it's all cool. It's all to meet federal regulations.
Not bad. I miss all your crazy shirts, because now that, you know, we're in the winter season, it's grays and the plaids. It's no longer Hawaiian shirts.
The flannels.
And stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's summer inside your heart, not outside.
It is.
So where would you want to wear?
I might have snow on the roof.
So I've been getting a lot into disc golf. I finally got disc golf is like this weird sport where you play golf, but you're using frisbee discs. Mm-hmm. And the principal at a high school challenged my company to a disc golf tournament. So like the principal and the vice principal came out and challenged two of us to represent our company to a match at a course that was designed by the kids. And so the four of us went out there and we did our first seminal Mount Pleasant High School versus Parker. That's the company I'm with, disc golf championship. And I can report back that we completely crushed the school.
Oh, good. Little did they know.
And it was a really, really fun time to be had by everyone. But I knew it was going to happen. And so I think it probably feeds them pretty well, because if I made a prophecy and said, we're going to win, and I know for a fact that I was training almost every week, and I brought even my coworker out there the day before so we can practice on the course, and we won, is that a prophecy coming true? Or is that just me stacking the cards in my favor? And what do I even mean by prophecy? What's up, John?
That's you making a segue.
That's me making a segue.
Listen,
I have this weird thing about prophecies, and particularly about them being just different forms of misinformation. And I wanted to base it off a Global Atheist news story about that televangelist. Would you mind walking me through that real quick?
Yeah, sure, sure, yeah. Marcus Lamb, who was a anti-vaxxer televangelist with a large following on his channel, and who swore blind that, I'm not sure whether he denied the existence of COVID, but he certainly denied. Did he? Yes.
Yeah, straight up, explicitly.
Yeah, he certainly denied the effectiveness of the vaccine, and subsequently he has died of COVID. And unfortunately, his widow is now on her on their tele channel. It's called Daystar. And they are claiming to still stand by the propositions that they held before he died. So there's no movement there, even though the prophecy turned out not to be true.
He
He nailed his colors to the wrong mast, in a nautical expression.
And
unfortunately, they still have a lot of influence over people who are believing their misinformation.
You hit the nail on the head. They made a prophecy about the COVID. It turned out to be wrong, but even still, they're sticking with it. And the misinformation is still alive. So like, even if it killed the guy who made the misinformation or the prophecy, the wrong information that can still be harmful to masses of people who pay attention to them can still influence people. And that's it's kind of messed up. I feel like that's the issue with prophecies. It tends to make people listen to people who don't have good processes to get to reasonable answers, when there are much better processes to get to the same reasonable answer. I feel like when I listen to a guy making prophecy, it's just a guy making a guess. And he might be right sometimes. He might be right sometimes. But that's not a good source of credibility as in just being right. It's about the process you're using. Doubter 5, what's up?
Yeah, what gets me is a lot of people say that they believe in the Bible because the Bible has all these prophecies about Jesus Christ and what he was going to fulfill.
Yep.
But I mean, it's a story. And if you're sitting down to write a story and you want to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament, I mean, they had the Old Testament. Yes. They had it there in front of them. All they had to do is read it and write down what the prophecies were going to be fulfilled. It's all a story.
Yes, yes.
Before
we leave Marcus Lamb, though, I'm wondering whether these vaccine deniers or COVID deniers, who are, in a sense, they're guilty of hosting the virus, giving it an opportunity to mutate, and as themselves, they are weapons of distribution.
Weapons of mass destruction at this point.
Sort of. Yeah, so what's the difference? This is a slippery slope, isn't it, that ends with suicide bombers.
Or ends with all of us being dead by a viral disease that we had ample opportunities to stop over a period of time.
Right.
But the motivation is sort of like a mild form of suicide bombing. They're going
out. Oh, I see what you're saying. It's sort of like passive suicide bombing in a sense. Like, hey, I don't care about me, but I'm going to cause harm. And then a virus guy is like, well, I don't want to get out, but I got to go to the grocery store. It's like, we wear masks then. Like, I don't believe in masks. I hear what you're saying. Sweetest Steve, could you mind... Would you relate suicide bombing with anti-vaxxers?
Sure. It's but I'm more fond of suicide bombers. It's some kind of evolution stand I have. But it's real. I can't grasp why we can't just, you don't vaccinate, get out of our society.
Yeah, I see. The thing was, I was... And I'll admit this, when COVID first happened, I was like, well, as soon as the vaccine comes out, I'm going to take it. And then at that point, it's only the people who don't want to be vaccinated, it's problems. And hopefully, you know, if this problem continues and they choose not to, and they are the only ones that are dying, then the people who are taking the vaccine, the people who are reasonable, they'll survive. And it's a terrible situation, but at least it's one that solves itself. But now the situation is, and it's one we've been in. And George, I'd love to hear you about this, is like, it's not just them that are being hurt. It's innocent people who are getting vaccinated or creating new variants and mutations, and innocent people don't have opportunities or access to vaccination that are being or points of suffering. George, would you mind taking yourself off mute and contribute?
Yeah. Boy, I had two things to say. One is that people are justifying their refusal to get vaccinated and refusal to wear masks by saying they have the right because they have the freedom to do that. And what they're doing is they're having the freedom to make me play Russian roulette when I go to the grocery store. So whose freedom? I need the freedom to not get infected by the vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, they obviously don't care about you.
Yeah, but by the micro.
Or your freedoms.
And so I have a friend who's in a relationship with a nurse. She's a licensed vocational nurse at a hospital in a larger city than the one I live in. And she's going to lose her job this month because she refuses to get vaccinated. Her logic is that the vaccine has not been adequately tested. And I was thinking, with that logic, have any of the vaccines for any of the epidemics in my entire life been adequately tested because we threw in the towel and said it's worth the gamble to take the vaccine? So those are the thoughts on my mind.
Yeah.
Thank
you for sharing.
One thing it gets me is that all these people that are all so up in arms about the vaccine don't realize that their kids are being vaccinated, you know, for schools and for against everything in the world up until the point where the COVID came around. And yes. They just like drew a line because Fox News and the QAnon and all this started ragging on them just to muddy the water, the political water. But yeah. they've been following the vaccine rules and regulations and procedures for themselves and their kids all their lives and don't really think about it.
Exactly. My daughter, 14 years old, recently had an HPV vaccine, you know, human papilloma virus. And it has reduced the incidence of female cancer of the cervix by 80%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, why would you not want to let your daughter have that?
Right.
Yeah, we have that too in Sweden. They get it when they are 12, I believe. Yes. Yes. And it's both. Male and females get it because intercourse can
transfer
the virus. Yep. So
I just want to throw out the point that like when these guys who aren't getting vaccinated are following essentially an idea or an ideologue that's presented as knowledge, but is ultimately just a guess. And it's purported as a prophecy, despite the fact that it may not follow the same word. It is essentially a person making a guess on what they think reality is and people hearing that and saying, okay, I trust this guy because he's made some credible, you know, ties to other things. I believe he's made some other accurate prophecies. I'm just going to continue to believe what this guy says. And we are now suffering the consequences of prophecy. It's essentially prophecy is in my head, misinformation in a cocktail dress. And we're now all falling apart because of it. It seems like we need to remember that it's not so much that someone can be right once, it's that they need to follow accurate methods or reliable methods to come to right conclusions. And it tends to be the case that people who do that use science, and science is overwhelmingly saying, yay, it's good to get vaccinated. Hey, it's good to take free medicine that makes you less likely to die and less likely to transmit variations of this particular disease.
If there was anybody who really was good at being a prophet, then all the bookkeepers, all the gambling shops, all the betting shops would go out of business because the first time he predicted who was going to win the 330, they'd be bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. Right. George, what's up?
Well, what I'm thinking is that in the past, when the general population, at least here in this country, have just gone with the flow and accepted accepted the mutual goal of staying alive and accepting vaccination, even embracing vaccination throughout my entire life has been happening. The signal difference is that we have Fox News today. We have other propaganda networks that are broadcasting a steady drumbeat of disinformation and telling people, no, it's your right to die of this.
But it's not your right to kill other people, which is the whole right. problem. If they want to get the virus and go into a room and die, we don't have a problem with that. And along the same line, I'm with Swedish Steve on the suicide bomber. They can only do limited damage, and they usually take themselves out of the equation when they do it.
Yeah.
But not the people who spread the virus.
So basically, I'm looking over the Bill of Rights, and this is the American Bill of Rights. And I'm finding, like, where is there a right to say, hey, I don't need to wear a face mask if I don't want to? And in fact, I'm actually seeing the contrast is true. Like, Article 29 refers to the Bill of Rights of responsibility. And we have a duty to other people and making sure that we can protect their well-being. And so, like, the actual terminology is everyone has duties to the community in which alone the free and full development of his personality is possible, which is basically like, don't do things that harm your community. You have a right to be in a community where you have duties to the public. And I would find, like, since there's the measurable harm of wearing a mask and social distancing and vaccination far outweighs the detriments that can come without following those things. And it seemed like you have a task as a member of this country, a duty as an American, to make sure that you and your, you know, your keeper's brother or whatever you want to call it, your neighborhood is safe, your community is safe. That's your responsibility, and it's a right that you need to take. It's not just something that you can push off to the side if you heard someone on Fox News say it was a bad thing. John Richards.
Perhaps everybody should be required to take the Hippocratic Oath.
Hey, that would be something.
You can't force people to take an oath. I mean, you can force them to say the words. It's like the U.S. oath, what is it, Pledge Allegiance to the Flag.
It's just
I have a stand against that. In that, what good is a pledge if you're being forced to take it? It's coercion. It wouldn't stand up in law, and it doesn't stand up in practice either.
Though it would be a good way to have doctors at least be able to say that preamble. It's like, if you want to be a doctor, please, you know, make sure you're not one of the crazy people, please. Like, but yeah. But I can see both sides of the argument. Guys, I think we're at the bottom of the half hour. Datterfy, why don't you take us out?
Sure. This has been the digital, at least the first half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour at WOZO Radio, 103.9 LP FM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Just old stories that we wrote when we were scared, like a parent comforts children and consoles them when they're sad. But every child that grows up comes to understand we gotta let go of fairy tales or stay buried in the sand. Well, you tell the gentle child that they were born of sin, but they must love their maker while always fearing him. And just because your parents told you it's all true, now you tell your children to be a Christian too. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes and let your mind be free. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes and let yourself be free. beside you to guide you through this life. And he alone commands you, and he alone's your life. You spend your life denying that his words just don't make sense. You're making sane excuses as you come to his defense. Well, they say that we all need him, or we won't know what to do. Because we wrote the Bible, well, you know this can't be true. Religion's for the masses, yeah, to keep the folks in line. And with it I control you, I can even read your mind. Well, open up your eyes. Open up your eyes, and let your mind be free. We'll open up your eyes, we'll open up your eyes, we'll open up your eyes, and let yourself be free. Well, a good man's good, a bad man's bad, and it's always been a choice. But to get good men to do bad things, and God, they must rejoice. Millennia of killing, it's commanded by our Lord. The righteousness of bloodshed, it's a wave of Jesus' song. So you say that I'm unholy, and against me hold a grudge. You're full of contradictions, cause it's only God the judge. You say my faith excludes me from that which lie above. But if I am the wretched, tell me why do I have love? Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes, and let your mind be free. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes. Well, open up your eyes, and let yourself be free. Lives to do his will, but that would make you evil, cause you're the one who kills. You use God when it's convenient and on days as benefit. Religion's taught me one thing, it's how to be a hypocrite. We'll open up your eyes. We'll open up your eyes. We'll open up your eyes and let yourself be free.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dr. Five, and we're on WOZO Radio. That's W-O-Z-O Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now let's talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 19th year and has over 1,000 members. And we meet, we have in-person weekly meetings at Knoxville's Old City and at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us out on the patio. If you'd like to join our Tuesday evening Zoom meeting, email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can also find ASK on Facebook, meetup.com, or knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for a group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Hey, I want to throw it up to our own John Richards to bring conversation back to prophesizing.
Prophesize.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's four words now. I found another one. Four words that I want to throw into this conversation because they are similar, but they may have differences. So what about, where's the difference between prophesy and forecast, and then predict and wager?
Okay. That's good. I can at least do the first two, prophesize and forecasting. I feel like forecasting is based off reasonable observation or rational data that has been collected over a long period of time and is being used to generate a confidence expectation of what might happen in the future. And that confidence could be expressed in terms of like a percentage. And typically what we're familiar with is weather patterns, which aren't ever 100%. It's rarely ever 100%. Though, oftentimes you can compare and contrast data from the past to come up with very good, reasonable bases that can be updated and changed. And that can change your forecast, but it's always a guarantee that it's close, but never 100% true model. I feel like that's what I mean by forecast.
I fully agree with that, because a lot of theists in an argument claim that you can't predict the weather. Well, there's a lot of meteorologists out there who are turning in their graves because, of course, it's statistical.
Yeah.
There's data.
It's all based on observable phenomena. Yep.
Yeah.
What about the next two? Steve, you want to do the next one? John, could you tell him the next two? Prophecy and what else?
The whole four is prophecy, forecast, predict, and wager.
Okay, Steve, predictions versus prophecies. What do you think?
I'm trying to translate it to Swedish in a good way.
A lot of connotation, right?
Yeah, it's tricky questions.
Why about wager? That might be even easier.
That's if I translate it, it's like a bet between two guys. Prediction, wage. I can't get it in my head. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah, they're pretty much all the same.
Yeah,
I find like with a prophecy, you're mostly trying to get clout, whereas with a wager, there has to be like some sort of like immediate, more short term benefit. Like when I make a bet, I'm trying to make some quick turnout. So, Datterfy, what do you think?
I think that the connotation of prophecy is a little different in that they try to throw God influence their prediction of the future, or gives them secret knowledge or arcane knowledge that normal people wouldn't have. That's the only difference I see from my perspective.
Well, you know, a couple of things occurred to me. One is the question is this what Nostradamus was all about? Or
In my head, Nostradamus is just one of many other people who are spouting out nonsense, and his nonsense was ambiguous enough to be correlated to stuff that was happening today. And he just won some lottery. He won the correlation.
And he had a printing press, right?
and he just made so many predictions. There was a chance one or two would come true.
I'd like to come back to the wager prophecy thing. It's sort of like a lie versus a white lie. Like some people, they're both lies, right? And a wager is basically what a prophecy is. It's a guess hoping that you're getting something out at the end, right? But the thing is, like a wager is like, I'm not trying to like buy into any agenda. I'm not trying to get into like some sort of ideology. I'm just trying to get a little thing out of this. So I'm going to make a quick little wager. Who knows? It's not reasonable. It's not rational. I know, but there's a chance, and that's all I'm in. It's a short little thing. But a prophecy is like, I have set up this thing. And if I win, I'm going to feed myself into this agenda. I'm going to get a tie. I'm going to get a suit. I'll have a network TV show. I'm going to be the next whatever crazy talking head is on TV, and I'm going to have the people looking at me, and that's worth it. I feel like those are the two worlds of Wager and Prophecy. One's so much more extreme than the other, but same party. What's up, George?
Well, you know what my mind flashed on is that there are certain people who are just amazingly successful gamblers.
Yeah.
And what some of them are little old housewives in Las Vegas, you know, who show up at the casino and make a haul every day. And it's like these people, I assume, are simply very good observers of phenomena, you know, and they can use these observations to their advantage.
Here's the argument. I think this is a great segue. I would say those tiny little practice grannies aren't wagering anymore, but they're making accurate predictions on models of science. And okay. At that point, if I'm competing with everybody and everyone's making wagers and I'm making predictions, I'm going to be the advantage, because to me, prediction falls into science. Prediction is essentially, hey, I'm making up models that will dictate what would happen in the future, and I'm using those models to come to better assessments of the reality that I'm working with right now.
Don't you mean like forecast?
What did you just say? It's like a lot like forecast. It's a lot of forecast. Forecast, in my sense, is like a
prediction.
Statistical expert. Here's a statistical confidence value. Predictions could be a little bit more ambiguous. We're all still dealing with the same words, but in science, predictions exist, and they tend to be well-informed. What's up, John Richards?
Well, if these casino grannies are really making a fortune, there's something wrong with the machines, and the Bellagio is going to go out of business.
So I would say, just to throw out more, there are bad kinds of predictions, right? Like, you know, wild mass guessing. And I don't mean it in that sense. Like, typically when there's a prediction in science, it's sort of like an expression of a conclusion to a hypothesis.
Yes.
Based on some experimental data that might be altogether not entirely conclusive, but very persuasive in terms of like the meeting its standard of evidence, right? Yeah. And that happens all the time. What's up, John?
Well, I think that, like Larry said, that prophecy is a long term thing. I mean, you might die before it resolved. Where, and it also tends to have a biblical connotation, whereas a prediction, as you said, it's the outcome of a hypothesis, it's an inference, and the important thing is it can be tested.
Right.
It's got to be testable.
Yes. Yes.
I prophesied that it's not going to rain in a half an hour where I live.
Oh, well, you also predicted, but yeah, you could prophesize anything you want. That's the whole thing. And the whole thing is, if it did rain in the next half hour, you could be like, well, it wasn't that rain that I was talking about. I was talking about a completely different set of droplets that just happened to come here.
God had other
plans. The devil came here and put some droplets on.
God had other plans.
What about when you go to a restaurant? Do you prophesize that the waiter is going to bring you a steak after you tell him to bring you a steak?
Yeah,
I mean, that's predicting the future,
right?
That's really ambiguous, because for me, meat is a religion. So just yeah.
I guess the takeaway is prophecies are cheap, and anybody can make them about anything, and that's why we shouldn't pay attention to them. Not only that, but they can also be the subject of misinformation. And that's all the more point that we should not give them a lot of credibility and test them so that we can separate the predictions from the prophecies. And ones that we test and find out aren't true, we should immediately dismiss. And the ones that we test and are true, we should immediately consider. And I think that's the takeaway point. That's a reasonable way to parse true things from false things. And when there's a person,
John. A prophecy, a prediction, a forecast, all of those things, they're going forward, aren't they? But knowledge has happened. You know, it's a history of a mountain of stuff that we've discovered to be the case. So that's where the truth is, in the things that we've confirmed.
And so this wasn't too long ago. There was a point in time where we didn't even know Uranus and Pluto existed as planets, right? But we made predictions that there are likely other planets in our solar system. Now we know for a fact that Pluto exists and Uranus exists, but we don't even consider Pluto a planet anymore. And there's more planets even past that. And we know about those now. And so what's the likelihood that there's even more planets past yourself? possible. I can make that prediction just based on the models that we have right now. Yes. We don't have the tools to see them yet. But even after I die, we might find more planets post this point. It's not a prophecy. I think what we could do is just say, hey, I'm willing to make this hypothesis, and I'm willing to work on the experimental data to determine if it's true or not. But that is basically what it is. It's an expectation based on a mound of credible evidence that we have. And it's not a widespread, here's a wager, now stop getting vaccinated because we found planet X and we're all going to go there after we die. It's more just like, hey, it's a likelihood based on what we know already. And I'm not 100% saying that it's true, actually. I just feel that if we had more technology, it's likely, I wouldn't be surprised if we had found more.
Well, we won't know it is true until after we found it, will we? That's the thing.
Yeah. So we don't know if this is true or not. I think that's the measure of the prediction. It's like, I'm saying it, I don't know if it's true or not.
Exactly. It's like, does ET exist? You know, is there a reason to think that intelligent life is somewhere else in the universe? I mean, we haven't found any on planet Earth, have we?
But we do have.
Hey, don't knock dolphins. Dolphins listen to this podcast.
Evidence of life in the universe. It's all around us. We just don't have evidence of other life, but
exactly.
we can extrapolate from our example that there are other lives, life forms anyway, of not intelligent life. It's a huge place, a lot of places for life to have evolved.
Yes. Absolutely. So I want to stress that point. I want to make it obvious that predictions, prophecies, speculations, hypotheses, they are guesses or, you know, to varying degrees of certainty, of probability, let's say, looking forward. Mm. And the important thing is to investigate to check which ones can be verified or not. And we shouldn't really believe them until after.
Right. Belief will come after the accreditation process.
Exactly.
Well, that brings up a question in my mind. We were talking about, is there intelligent life elsewhere in the universe? But I want to know, is there stupid life in the universe?
Elsewhere in the universe. That's even more likely.
Yeah. Well, you know what Einstein said about it? He says, I'm not sure that, I can't remember it now. He says, I'm not sure that the universe is infinite, but I'm pretty sure about stupidity. I'm paraphrasing it, but it was pretty funny the way that he put it.
I like what George Carlin said. Uh-oh. He said,
it's radio, just remember.
he said that, when you think how stupid the average person is, you know, and then you realize that 50% of us are more stupid than that.
That's right. Yeah.
That's good. True. That's good.
Yeah.
So I'll throw out my own stupid people analogy. It tends to be the case that the people who decry stupid people the loudest tend to be members of that society themselves. And it's the same idea of like when you point a finger at somebody, you got four, at least three pointing back at yourself, right? I saw a really great presentation, one by a lawyer and one by a cop, talking about like how to handle yourself during like if you're encountered by police and what questions you answer, if any, right? And the lawyer's like, hey, listen, you don't have to speak to the police. You have a right to a lawyer. We fought very hard for it. And the cop is like, he's right. And I know that because people are stupid and I used to be a cop and people are terrible and dumb. I'm like, oh, if that's the mentality of the cops, that's a big ego set of ego to climb. Cause it was such exemplary of a person. I did not want to engage with in a interrogation setting with that kind of mindset. So I do want to harp a little bit more on prophecies and stuff like that. I found that it is an interesting concept that you just brought up, John Richards, that you have the right to free speech. You can talk, you can make prophecies as much as you want. You can speak, but the point when belief becomes a factor is after we've done the test on what you've said. And if we can confirm it, then we will believe it. And I find like a lot of people skip that very, very important step because they'll immediately go to the guy with authority said something. And obviously it's true because they said it. Their resource of truth. And they've not done the accreditation to justify or even validate that level of confidence in anything that they're saying by the people who hear them. I feel like that's really dangerous. Swedish Steve, I'm living in this weird bipolar, you know, incredibly polarized country. In Sweden, is there any example of that? Or is everybody, you know, just eating potatoes and happily frolicking in the dark right now?
Yeah, something like that.
The sure. Jackrabbits.
Yeah.
4 feet tall jackrabbits. The rabbits there are huge, by the way.
And skating. They're
really terrifying.
Skating and skiing.
Yeah.
No, nothing like that, really. The main question that I grasped was stupidity in a larger amount. And I feel that Sweden as an educated land or country is better off than, for example, South Canada. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but...
you're going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
There's no Canadians on the show today. It's all good.
South Canada is America for those people who don't know.
A new name for America. I like it.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, it's like China is South Taiwan or East Taiwan. Like
South America would be Mexico then, I guess, by this extension then.
Nah, maybe.
Don't okay, know. And then South would be South America. Wow. It's like layers on top. Though I would say this, weird history lesson. There was a point in time where Sweden and Norway were the same country. And yeah. Norway was like, hey, we have oil here. Let's just be our own country. And the king of Sweden was like, no, 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 no. In fact, we will go to war against you. And he started this whole propagation campaign where he's like, not only will we know you can't leave because we have made prediction models that if you leave, it'll be terrible for you and it'll be terrible for us. So I'm going to make this propaganda campaign. I'm going to make every Swedish person believe in me. And we're going to go to war with you if you don't continue to be under our subjects, like a part of Sweden. And as he was about to mount his offensive, everyone in Sweden was like, dude, we ain't going to war with Norway. That's crazy. Like, we're not going to do that. That's crazy. We know them all. Like, no, we aren't going to believe your rhetoric. And at that point, the king of Sweden was like, okay, I guess we aren't going to war. And then Norway was just like, we're going to be our own thing. It was, I wouldn't say completely amicable and as fast as that, but it was a good example of people hearing messages from a point of authority and willing to go through the patience of being like, is what this guy's saying is true? Is any of these models he's saying make any sense? And is it worth the sacrifice that he's asking of us in terms of what potential harm could come from believing this particular form of rhetoric or prediction models or prophecies that he's coming up with? And it was a beautiful example of reason winning. And you know, for the most part, Norway and Sweden get along except for their soccer teams. But like for the most part, everybody's happy.
Well, if the world is on a trajectory of splitting up into smaller and smaller factions, you know, like the Scots are looking at possibility of becoming an independent nation, no longer part of the UK. Okay. I don't think it'll happen, but at the moment, there's predictions that they will have a vote, and some of them will vote for that eventuality. Here's the question: if the whole world is on this smaller and smaller nationhood route, is America going to split up into maybe three? You know, East Coast, West Coast, and the biblical belt.
You know, that is a scary concept. I feel like if you were to ask me why are sports important, it's to keep that down. It's the tapered image of the common man to be like, but they have a football team and I want to play with them too. So like, yes, we'll congregate. Like there are so many strands in to make a strong community that we take for we expect them to exist, but if without them, there'd be huge detriments. And I feel like sports is one of those things. Olympics, for example, helps to keep in my head, not just countries talking to each other, but that concept of what a country is and national pride as one consistent thing from year to year, stable. Mm. I feel like a lot of those things in sports and athletics are very valuable, at least for absolutely. The human.
I thoroughly agree. Does that apply to theater and cinema and music as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like those tend to evolve more freely, but yeah, without the guidance of a...
They're a unifying influence.
Hmm. George, I can't tell if you're frozen or not. Or I'm going to assume, yeah.
He's frozen.
Okay, yes. Okay. Guys.
I wasn't thinking I was frozen. Am I frozen?
It's just your video.
Oh. I can't control YouTube.
I will tell you some cool things about prophecies that I do like. Maybe
let's all come out in sympathy and play Frozen.
I can't keep a straight face. I do find that they are very entertaining. And if we were to think of them as just what they are, just, hey, it's a fun story about what might be, or even like a hopeful telling, I'm totally for it. And one of the examples I came up with is I'm driving back from a friend's place, and he's driving, and we're talking about cars, and I'm saying, you know, I think solar power energy is going to get so good that instead of like charging in your garage, you'll just have the panels on top of your car, and you'll just have cars in the future that just keep driving whenever you need them. They could just go around the country in loops if they need to, and they'll do so eco-friendly wise. What's up, John?
You need a very big roof.
If they get more efficient, that's the prophecy. Like if they continue to get more efficient, my prophecy would be something close to that. And we're laughing it off, but in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, at the rate of how technology is going, like I used to laugh at the idea of having a cell phone in my pocket, like the idea that you can walk around with a phone, or like a colored video game system in your back pocket, LED lights. Who knows? We may have an adventure. We may have a system like that. And if anything, if I'm espousing it as this is a cool idea I have in the future that's based on some conjecture and guessing, I don't really have any basis behind this or nor knowledge of the industry. But I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm just spouting it out. I find no harm in something like that. I found like that's actually a cool way to start really nice conversations, maybe inspire ideas.
It's certainly possible that a solar roof on a car could augment charging the battery. But at the moment, the input's not going to meet the output.
Right.
Well, I think you could kind of make some predictions about that by finding out just exactly. I mean, and you should be able to just lay out a diagram of a car on the ground and see how much sunlight hits it. I mean, and measure the energy potential of the sunlight, and you should be able to find out whether or not it's going to be able to push a car around,
yeah,
you know, no matter what kind of conversion. Let's say you had a one-to-one conversion, light to electricity. You would be able to figure it, I would think.
Yes. Can I give an example of a prediction I see a lot, or a case of prediction I see a lot?
Sure.
So... the Brexit is prophesied by Otto von Bismarck in 1790, as he said that we should isolate Great Britain. That would be true because he said that.
Mm.
That was his foreign policy against Britain.
Right.
So, did he say when it would be true? Because for the last 49 years, it wasn't true.
No, but now it's true. So
he was right the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
He was right the whole time. Yeah, same thing. Like if they do come out with solar vehicles, maybe 200 years from now, and they're like, of course that happened. Like, of course, it's like, yeah. I can't claim that I knew that. I can't claim that as like, oh, time was right. I know I'm making a wild guess.
Yeah.
Like,
of course, there are solar vehicles, and not very many years ago, they traversed Australia from north to south. But in order to do that, because the density of sunlight arriving on this planet is 1 kilowatt per square meter. But of course, that's only during the hours of daylight.
Mm.
And in order to do that, they have to be as light as a bicycle.
Sure. John, we can have a conversation about this because I find if you were to make a car that's powered on water that needed a catalyst that just needs to be refreshed and you use solar energy to refresh that catalyst, then it's just a question of how do I maintain a certain amount of water in this car? Could I pull it from humidity? And could I power that systems through solar power? And then I have a car that basically runs on water, but is recharged catalytically through sunlight. And then you're done. That's it. There's so many, like the technology that I'm espousing, if that happened 200 years ago, I can't claim that. That's my takeaway. If they find some amazing way to engineer that, I can't claim that I came up with it from the beginning. because I know I'm guessing. I know someone else might guess something slightly different. They might say, hey, just put photoplankton in the car in the water and then have enough sunlight to keep the photoplankton alive. And that'll produce enough gases for you to have a combustion engine working or something like that. I don't know. But like enough people can randomly guess at something to the point where when we do have a technology that's similar, we don't have credit on that. We were just guessing. But it may fall in line with one of those things. And it's not so much that we were right. It's about who took the most reasonable path to get there. And the people who are wildly guessing don't have credibility or credit for the correct answer in the future or the correct future. It's the people who use the scientific method to get to that future that deserve the credit. And I feel like we should just make sure that's the hallmark of how we identify things. You can make prophecies, but you have to make sure that they're credible, as John Richards was pointing out. Go for it.
Do you want to see the electric car that I built over 20 years ago?
Okay, let's do it.
Remember, this is radio, so you have to describe it pretty well.
John Richards loves visual humor. Well, he's a master of visual imagery.
I've got to get to it first. Here we go.
Oh, no.
1 minute. Here it is.
All right.
Does that show?
Yeah.
Cute. Cool. Green and yellow.
There I am.
Yeah.
In the driver's seat.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Very nice.
Cool. It's in my garage now. It was on trade plates.
Metro buggy.
Yeah, it's never a good thing when someone shares their desktop because now we're going to have to change the Zoom link.
Yep.
But okay. So obviously, Larry, don't broadcast that. So we'll just cut straight to... and well, John, I would appreciate it if you didn't, because that's my work Zoom link. I would appreciate if you didn't upload this.
Well, let's describe it for the radio audience. It looked like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, green and yellow Volkswagen. Yeah.
It was smaller than that. It was a two-seater. It's based on the Isetta bubble car.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Front opening door.
Nice. Yo,
we're getting insane. Down.
To the top of the hour, we should probably think about final words here.
Yeah, don't worry. So if we can blur that out, I would be greatly appreciative. And then moving forward, John Richards, where can we find you?
Free Thought Productions. And if you're looking at last night's GAN, Global Atheist News, there were some issues in the first upload, so I've done a fixed issues version. Look at the second one.
Very cool. Very cool. Swedish Steve, anything we should check out before next week?
Otto von Bismarck's foreign policies.
Otto von Bismarck's foreign policies.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. George Brown, anything we should check out before next week?
Yeah. Ponder the question, is there stupid life in the universe?
I like that. I'm going to reiterate George points. Ponder if there's stupid life in the universe. Doubter 5.
Other stupid What's life.
What's going on?
We have to worry about it. Anyway,
any books you'd recommend, my friend?
Oh, I do have a book on atheism. You can check that out. It's Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. I also have a YouTube channel you can find by just searching for Larry Rhodes or Doubter 5. My own content is found on digitalfreethought.com on the website. And be sure to click the blog button for radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. If you have questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, you can get help at recoveringfromreligion.org. Thank you for joining us on the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, you can find this show on Apple, iTunes, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.